Isaiah Mosley's cryptic social media presence continues unabated. Plus, why I think Brady Cook is basically just Alex Smith. Let's talk about that and more right now on Locked On Mizzou.
You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. And thanks for making this show your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts, including on the SiriusXM app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. And, well, we're going to lead here with some tweets, some social media from Isaiah Mosley, because I really feel like he is among the most important members of the 23-24 upcoming Missouri basketball season. Because while I think Isaiah's overall individual numbers last season, shooting percentage-wise, totals too, were obviously down from what I expected, from what most Mizzou fans expected, I can say pretty safely. But at the same time, I think Missouri was its best version of itself when Isaiah was on the court and seemingly had his mind right, playing his best basketball. And you saw when Missouri, you know, slowly but surely into January, Missouri put Isaiah Mosley into the starting lineup, and I think that was a sign of some confidence in the young man. And yet, for whatever reason, well, obviously, a lot of time missed by Isaiah to closing the season, including the postseason entirely. So whatever, once again, whatever is and has been going on in Isaiah's life for the last few months or longer, however it's been, obviously on a personal level, I wish him well and just hope things are able to resolve themselves as well as they can. But you have to say, from a basketball perspective, as a Missouri fan, it's getting a little bit concerning that we still don't know if this young man is going to be on the roster next season. It seems like he's still in a bit of limbo. And maybe he's just feeling a bit frustrated about this limbo himself, or maybe there's some real things going on the court. Again, Isaiah has been very, very cryptic at times, meaning I don't know how to read any of this stuff. But what he tweeted out on May 28th, that was this past Sunday, just before 3 p.m., he said, I'll just read this verbatim here. Okay, will change of plans, IG. Now, I got to assume that was an autocorrect-related typo there, the second word. So let's assume he says, okay, well, change of plans, IG. I assume he means I guess. Although I suppose it could mean Instagram as well. In other words, tune into my Instagram later because, well, we did see a post from Isaiah on Instagram, picture of him in Missouri's practice arena saying, I love this place, but I have mixed emotions, that kind of deal. So again, could we be possibly more cryptic online? Are we looking for attention here? Is this a cry for help? I'm just not really sure what to make any of this, but again, as a fan, I'm getting a little worried here. I think Missouri will be much better next season if Isaiah is on the roster. It seems like he wants to be on the roster. So all of this uncertainty here is certainly causing some concerns. And because really, I'm already looking forward to Mizzou basketball next season. That's how much fun last season was. And despite the fact that Dennis Gates has come up in second place here a few times, trying to get maybe the transfer portal big man of his choosing, I think there's still a lot of reasons to be positive and excited about Missouri basketball this coming fall. Now, if indeed, hypothetically, Mosley isn't on the roster next season, well, it's not as though Missouri doesn't have plenty of options in the backcourt. The Tigers have lots of ball handling and lots of shooting on next year's squad for sure, though I'm just not sure that anybody has the type of natural playmaking ability and one-on-one scoring talent and just ability to get his own shot, especially at the end of the shot clock, like Isaiah Mosley did. I think you saw DeAndre Golston take that role on pretty well at times last season, but obviously Golston is gone, so who is going to be that guy next season, especially without Kobe Brown on the roster who could obviously bully his way into the paint and get off a decent shot against most opponents as well. So again, that to me is why the Isaiah Mosley thing, despite Missouri's depth at guard seemingly on paper for next year's squad, I think it really is something worth monitoring. And of course, as I always say at the top here at Locked On Mizzou, this is primarily a Mizzou basketball and football show. But of course, some big news from this past weekend as Missouri decided to move on from head baseball coach Steve Beazer. And I said recently that that wasn't the move that I would make. I thought, considering the circumstances, I thought Beazer had done a fairly decent job. Nothing overwhelming, certainly, but considering what he was given to work with, I thought the results were fairly impressive. In particular, this past season, by the way, where Missouri was on the cusp of making the NCAA tournament, despite just an absolute slew of injuries in their pitching staff and some other bad breaks that went against them as well. But I'll just say this isn't really, I'm not going to come out strongly one way or the other on whether this was the right decision. Just from Beazer's perspective, I would have liked to have seen him get a shot with a little bit better resources that it seems like Missouri is relatively committed to doing going forward. It does seem like Missouri, its administration under Desiree Reed-Francois here, is going to have a renewed commitment to baseball. And frankly, you either got to do that or you got to go home, because in the SEC, where Missouri was competing right now in terms of just the price of what they're paying their head coach, Beazer making just under $500,000. Well, the majority of the SEC in baseball has baseball coaches that make over $1 million, which is kind of astonishing when you think about it, considering Major League Baseball has gone the other way. All of their managers, for the most part, it's bargain basement stuff these days. Hey, we'll find some, you know, journeyman former big leaguer who'd be happy to make $1 million a year to manage the team, fine and dandy. The years of the LA Dodgers paying Joe Torre $7 or $8 million or whatever it is to manage a squad, it just seems like that's over. That's the trend. And actually, if you think about it, that kind of makes sense in terms of the pendulum swinging toward the college coaches, because, well, they're the ones who essentially establish the entire program. They recruit the players. So for all intents and purposes, they're the front office in college baseball. Whereas these managers at the major league level, well, you might as well just throw an Apple MacBook Pro out there or something and have it spit out a spreadsheet result on who you want to line up, what do you want your lineup to be, who should start the game that day, et cetera, et cetera. They just don't have nearly as much of an impact on the entire organization or college program as the college coach does. So if you're Missouri and you want to have some real results here, obviously a new stadium would be huge. I think that's kind of a minimum, to be honest. I think Missouri has to build some type of new baseball stadium. Where that needs to go, I'm not totally sure. That's above my pay grade, but certainly if you're not at least approaching $1 million a year with your next baseball coach, again, I'm not even sure why we have a program, because you're never going to be able to compete in the SEC with what Missouri's done for the last decade or so. And coming up, speaking of Mizzou football, well, in my previous episode, I was questioning why a lot of Missouri fans just seem overly negative about this program coming into the season. Well, a lot of that has to do with Brady Cook, unfortunately. And guess what? I'm about to mount a bit of a defense of Brady Cook once again. Not trying to convince you that he's Chase Daniel or Patrick Mahomes, but at the very least, I think Brady Cook is Alex Smith. So let's talk about that. But first, I want to tell you, if you're looking for a delicious snack but don't want all the sugar and calories, well, you want the best tasting protein bar that God has ever invented. Yes, that's Built Bar. And you got to try this. And if you're trying to make some healthier choices, look good in the old bathing suit, well, Built Bars are just the thing for you. Also, Built Bar Puffs as well. They're relatively healthy and they taste amazing, covered in 100% real chocolate. In my humble opinion, you can't go wrong with any of the coconut varieties, but regardless, You just check out whatever you want, all the flavors available at built.com, but you can also peruse Walmart or Sam's Club for all your built specialty flavors as well. So again, head to Walmart or Sam's Club today, or go to built.com, and please do thank me later. Thanks again for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen every day. And for you everydayers, coming up later this week, I want to talk about where Chris Abrams-Drain and Ennis Rakestraw rate in terms of cornerback duos in the Southeastern Conference, maybe even nationally. I don't know, my opinion, hard to believe there's a duo that's much better, but we got to take a closer look at the rest of the country. But of course, when it comes to Missouri football, just a ton of talk about the quarterback position right now, and I totally understand it. As a Kansas City Chiefs fan, well, obviously I'm spoiled right now. All of us who root for the Chiefs are completely and utterly spoiled getting to watch Patrick Mahomes, who's already one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, quite honestly, do his thing. Two Super Bowls, three appearances. I mean, what more is there to say about the young man? But back in the day, I think especially now, maybe with, I don't know if hindsight makes this better or worse, but of course, before Patrick Mahomes, there was Alex Smith, the Kansas City starting quarterback. And there were too many people, in my opinion, who, especially with the quarterback position, I see this all the time. You're either the GOAT, a completely overused phrase, by the way, that's lost complete and all meaning, but you're either just this amazing, incredible superstar quarterback and nobody should question any decision you ever make ever, or you suck. And to me, the reality of the situation is there's got to be a lot of in between there. There's got to be a lot of guys who are mediocre or slightly above average, that kind of thing. Well, to me, that's exactly what Alex Smith was. He was an average to above average starting quarterback for most of his career. When he was in his prime with the Niners, with the Washington Commanders now, with the Kansas City Chiefs, that was basically who he was. And my point in bringing all this up is I think that phenomenon has now moved itself to the Missouri Tigers as well, because now a bunch of people can't see the good parts of Brady Cook as a quarterback. They only see the negatives. And when you only see the negatives, well, then you come to the conclusion that he, quote, sucks. And no, that's not a straw man. Look at the comments from my previous video on YouTube. I had a whole bunch of people. In fact, a couple comments that I just deleted because they weren't in any way constructive whatsoever. It was just, again, negative nonsense, in my opinion. Well, to me, again, just being this dismissive of Brady Cook is silly. There's no doubt that there were games where Brady Cook was not good enough for Missouri. There were also some games against South Carolina, against Arkansas, that we really needed Cook to play well, and he did so and won us some really important football games. And by the way, against Tennessee, well, Brady Cook was not the problem in that ball game. And probably, clearly, his worst game of the season, I would say, against Kansas State, well, Brady got hurt in that game. We're going to see him be healthy this season, hopefully a little bit better version of Brady Cook. And again, I'm not trying to convince you that Brady Cook is Patrick Mahomes. I'm certainly not trying to convince you that he's Bryce Young either, the Heisman winner, number one pick last year. Yes, as I've pointed out before, if Bryce Young were Missouri's quarterback last year, yeah, Missouri would have probably won three or four more games for sure. But again, because Missouri fans, I think we got really spoiled during the Pinkel era by that incredible run of quarterbacks, I think we're having a little bit difficulty of a time, some of us anyway, accepting the fact that, hey, some quarterbacks are just okay. They don't have to be terrible or suck or a superstar. There's a whole lot of in between there. And I think, well, that's probably where Brady Cook and most of the Missouri quarterbacks find themselves at the moment. And with Oklahoma and Texas, of course, joining the SEC here in a couple seasons, the need for good quarterback play, well, that's only going to be more important for a program like Missouri. And speaking of, again, Oklahoma and Texas, I think it's mostly been assumed, even by myself, by most, that the SEC was eventually going to expand to a 9-game schedule in the conference. Well, lately that's seeming like it's more in doubt. Part of that is some of the economic ramifications I broke down last week involving streaming, media companies, and all that stuff. Well, Eli Drinkwitz had some interesting comments about the 8-game versus 9-game schedule. Drinkwitz is definitely pro 9, which is interesting from a Missouri perspective. So let's talk about Eli's comments and where the scheduling conflict stands right after these quick words. So it's certainly a bit of an interesting look when Eli Drinkwitz is out there, of course, Missouri's head coach, pushing for an expansion of the SEC schedule. One more game, baby. That's what Eli Drinkwitz's motto is, apparently, at this point. Meanwhile, you've got Nick Saban, the big bully of the conference and of college football for the past, 15 maybe plus years or so. And admittedly, a lot of that has to do with those two guys talking their book. I think Drinkwitz, it sounds like, well, Missouri is likely to get Vanderbilt as one of its current permanent, I should say, opponents, along with Arkansas and perhaps a team like Kentucky as well for its three rotating opponents under a potential 9-game schedule. The other 6 opponents would rotate out each and every year. But Alabama's going, wait a second. Specifically, Nick Saban's going, wait a second. If you compare it to Missouri, this isn't something he said, but I'll just do it for him. Compared to Missouri's 3 permanent opponents here, yeah, Alabama's got it a little rougher if they're going to have to play Auburn and Tennessee and, what is it, LSU every year. Regardless, it's a lot more of a gauntlet potentially for Alabama. Again, all of this is potential, could change down the road. This could be posturing by Nick Saban to maybe get one game he feels like is a little bit less on the difficulty side of things. But regardless, here was Eli Drinkwitz's comments. He said, I think Commissioner Sankey makes a good point. We'd be the only Power 5 conference with an 8-game schedule. I don't think that's a good look for our conference. And then finally, he finishes out with this other comment. I'm a history teacher by trade. And every time I come to one of these meetings, I'm blown away that the 13 colonies actually formed a union. But we can't agree on an 8- or 9-game schedule. Well, you know, actually, I think maybe the union thing there is, maybe it's a better analogy if you look at sort of the full umbrella of NCAA football. Because, well, back in the day, in order to become a state, you could just draft your own constitution. That's why Missouri, for instance, has its own constitution. So you make your own rules and, well, you either become part of the union or not. You're either a full member or not back in the day. That was part of the Missouri Compromise. And I realize that I'm getting way, way, way too far down the road here of history. But the point is, I think this is suddenly in doubt because even though Eli Drinkwitz clearly wants it to happen, you've got powerful people behind the scenes, not just Nick Saban, but it sounds like a majority of the coaches in the SEC are for sticking with 8 SEC games. Now, the way this is going to work, apparently this is going to be the 2024 model, will be Missouri will play Arkansas, for example. It's one permanent rival, and then everybody else, the other 7 teams, are going to rotate each and every year. So no more playing Georgia and Florida and Tennessee, all these teams in the SEC East. That looks like it's done regardless of whether it's 8 or 9. I think everybody, for the most part, that is a point of agreement, is, hey, we would like, you know, these teams to cycle through more into Faurot Field. We'd like to see LSU and Auburn and Alabama more often than every 10 years or whatever it might be. Certainly getting rid of divisions will help facilitate that, but it's also the secondary rivalries, if you will, the Alabama and Tennessee type rivalries that have meant something for years and years. Well, those are going to fall by the wayside a little bit. This is why, one of the reasons I've always been more of a proponent of the 6-3 model with the 9-game schedule. But again, it looks like this could also be posturing as well, but supposedly ESPN is balking at the idea of paying more for that ninth game right now. Again, Disney is a little bit cash-strapped right now. Things aren't going great over at Disney. I saw some people say that Disney was going bankrupt. Well, that's an over-exaggeration for sure, but just look at the stock's performance for the last year or so. Things aren't going so great at Disney Plus. They're not meeting the subscriber expectations that they thought they were going to. Also, ESPN continues to shed cable subscribers, and ESPN Plus, again, like every streaming service that I'm aware of, is not quite hitting its fairly lofty subscription projections that they put out when they first started this whole process. So on one hand, it makes sense that Disney and other media companies are starting to tighten their budgets a little bit. Interest rates rising, of course, that makes money more expensive to borrow. Again, things just are tighter right now than they were a few months, a year ago, that type of thing. My contention is I still think ultimately we get to nine games because this has been the trend now in every sport. Every sport, the NFL, MLB, NBA, what have they all done the past year or two? They've all expanded their playoffs. For what reason? More money from the media rights people. And while I do think, absolutely, as I said before, I think the appetite is obviously a lot smaller for this type of expansion and throwing around money than it was this time last year, at the same time, I do think ultimately that ninth SEC game, that property is valuable enough to get a team like, to get a company like Disney to come out of the woodwork and do something. And by the way, Bob Iger, the erstwhile CEO, the prodigal son returning to Disney to run that company, well, a lot of people thought that, hey, this is what's going to turn around this sort of stagnant company here. And well, so far, not much has really changed under Iger. He doesn't have any big sort of press release generating moves that are getting the big headlines, that are getting investors, for instance, behind the stock. So I think that could be a win for Iger, short-term and long-term as well. But that's just my guess, of course, at this point. Again, that's mostly based on SEC, the value there. If you're in the Pac-12 and you think you're getting maybe a new contract or whatever, that I would question for sure. And, of course, thanks, as always, for listening to Locked On Mizzou. Make it your first listen every day. And for you everydayers coming up on the show this week, got to talk about Nathaniel Pete and why I think he may actually be the solution to Missouri's running back woes. So until then, I'm John Miller, and this has been Locked On Mizzou.